Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast.
You make poor decisions when you're under pressure, and cash flow pressure puts you under pressure like nothing else in business. It's a horrible sensation knowing that you ain't got enough to do what you need to do.
You're back at work after the Christmas vacation. The jobs start rolling in again, but the bank account is empty. You're stressed. You're not sure how you're going to make wages, pay the suppliers, take care of tax payments, and get through the next couple of months.
December can be a busy month. Like, you can have a lot of jobs that you're getting through the pipe in December because people are rushing to get stuff done by Christmas.
Cash in the bank now and strong sales makes you feel bulletproof. But cash in the bank now is irrelevant. The flow of cash is what's important.
Now tune into this episode where we discuss why this happens and how to avoid it next year so that you can enjoy your vacations and holidays rather than dread coming back to work. Welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here with my good mate Phil Smith. How you doing?
Yeah, g'day mate. Doing good.
Awesome. Hey, what are we into today, buddy?
Well, we're talking about January. So, you know, we've just had a bit of a Christmas break. Things are, you know, have even been fun and you've had a great time, but you come back and things are not great when you get back to work, and particularly in the form of cash flow. So you might find your bank accounts running low, invoices sitting unpaid, you know, suppliers are wanting their money now, payroll's due Friday, but you're sweating over whether it'll clear. Tax payments mounting up, you know, the works, it can be pretty tough.
Yeah, and maybe the work's not as busy as well. You were busy before Christmas or before the break, and now it's a bit slow getting started because some of your clients are still kind of away or they're a bit disorganized and their jobs aren't happening. And you're getting sort of squeezed from both sides. So obviously lack of money coming in, but also you've got lots of bills going out and it's not fun. You know, we're talking about Christmas here, obviously, but you know, this can apply maybe if you take a long summer break as well, if you're in Canada or the US as well. And so today, what we want to do is we want to dig into what are the causes of this, you know, this phenomenon of basically having no cash for 2 or 3 months after a break. Because if you understand that, then you probably won't put yourself in that position. Which you don't want to be in because it's a real mind bend.
Yeah, no good. And we've got a couple of clients, I think, that we've seen in recent years that really do this differently. So, you know, obviously, let's talk about Neil and Greg, man.
Yep. So Neil's a plumber, a really substantial business. And probably 4 or 5 years ago, he'd have a terrible time over the Christmas break. He'd run out of money. It was a nightmare after Christmas. But he got smart, and now he's got it dialed in because he plans ahead is the key thing. And he manages his payments. He actually keeps a lot of his crew working. He's got the right jobs running, so there's always cash coming in, which means that he's set up to hit the ground running in the new year. Doesn't have a big cash flow pinch. It's all good, and he's set up for the year. Versus Greg, who's actually, you know, he's an electrician. Last year, he was shut for 3 weeks because he needed a break, wanted to give his crew a break. And it was absolute chaos for his business because there's no money coming in, no production happening, no cash. And his business was pretty much on life support until sort of mid-March, April, till he recovered, which is, you know, like a quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Not only that, the stress was immense for Greg because it's like, how am I going to make all this work? And so he spent, you know, 2.5-3 months actually chasing his tail, fighting fires to get things on track, whereas Neil was actually, you know, growing his business, focusing on where he was going with his business rather than just trying to keep things, you know, from dying, basically.
Yeah. And obviously we have a better plan for Greg this year, so I'm looking forward to seeing some great results.
Well, he's learned his lessons.
But, you know, whole point of today's pod is that we can learn from these type of mistakes and avoid them in the future. So, yeah, let's get into it, man. Like, I want to talk about what's going wrong. If you don't fix this, there's obviously some big problems we experience.
Yeah, right? I mean, the first thing is you just run out of money. You know, plain and simple, you're kind of, as I said, squeezed from both sides. You've got a lot of money going out. Might be vacation pays, tax payments, all sorts of stuff. But there's not much coming in because the jobs aren't happening and people are slow to pay.
Yeah, well, I mean, if people are slow to pay, the whole problem at that point is you've still got people that are wanting money from you. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to pay your suppliers and all that kind of stuff, but you're going to start having to delay that because you don't actually have any money. And then that can really hurt the relationship you have with those creditors, like your merchant, your supplier, whatever. Because basically you don't have that money coming in. You need the materials from them, but you can't pay them. So you start getting on credit, you can't make your payments, and everyone starts getting a bit antsy about that.
And payroll as well. Like you often the situation is you're like, we got payroll on Tuesday. I ain't got enough money.
Yeah.
And you might hit the first one, you know, at the start of January, but it might be in the middle of January where it really bites. And that is very stressful.
Yeah.
You can't miss payroll.
No, you can't.
Because otherwise your business is kind of stuffed.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously as a problem with that is that, you know, as you feel these pinches, you really have that pressure to start getting work in and start getting the ball rolling. And so you start jumping at just any old job that's coming across your desk. Problem with that is that you start picking bad jobs instead of picking profitable jobs. And so those standards that you've worked all year to build up, you start dropping and you start just taking in whatever's there, even the low margin ones, even the painful ones, even the difficult clients, just to get that money flowing again. And then obviously you start reaping the, let's call them benefits, yep, of those bad decisions, which actually compounds your problem. So, you know, you're in a bad spot to begin with, cash flow is not looking good, you take in that bad work, and you actually make cash flow even worse, yeah, because without the profit in those jobs, yeah, you can't accumulate anything back.
You're really not thinking about growth. And then maybe when things start to come right, you're like, well, maybe I could hire someone or get some new equipment or take a new lease or whatever it is to grow my business. But in the back of your mind is this horrible kind of trauma of not having enough cash.
Yeah.
And so it actually makes you play small the whole year round because you've almost got PTSD in a sense, in a business sense, from the lack of cash flow. You just don't want to go there again and you don't want to, you know, let anyone down. If you hire someone, or maybe if the work's not there, I don't have the money, what am I going to do? That's a real problem. So you kind of carry that stress and that uncertainty with you the whole year. Yeah. Even though you're not aware of it, it's quite a subconscious thing. And we see that a lot with our people coming into our program. They've got this baggage about, you know, making decisions to grow their business because of these, you know, these traumatic experiences they've had, and it really holds them back.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think that, you know, that constant stress and uncertainty as well through this time is just tough. Like, business starts feeling fragile, you know, you're not sleeping properly, you're questioning whether you're even doing the right thing, you know, and it starts to bleed into your home life, you know, like, these are business problems, but, you know, ultimately, business problems can become personal problems, especially with cash. Like, cash is such a stressful thing, and you're going to take that attitude home. That's going to be you with your family, with your kids. You know, you're basically walking around with a face like a drop pie, and it bleeds into everything. It's just not good, man. So this is all the stuff
it
bleeds to.
And if you've done this for a few years, then if you are having a break, a vacation over Christmas, or, you know, a summer break, if that's more where you're at, then you don't tend to enjoy that as much as well, because you've got this sense of dread in front of you about what's going to happen when you get back into things, and that's not a nice feeling.
No, it's not. Whereas on the other hand, if we can plan better for this and just do a better job of managing that break and managing that downtime, you know, we actually have a lot to gain.
Yeah, I mean, you can start the year on the front foot, like you're ready to go. You've got money to pay the bills. You can take on profitable work and make good decisions. You know, your suppliers, your team love you because there's no stress working with you relative to working with everyone else. You actually enjoy the holidays. This is the key thing for me, is you enjoy them without the hangover.
Yeah.
You know, there's no stress, no guilt. You've got time with your family. You can unplug because you know that things are covered and they're going to be ready to go when you go back and you're on the front foot. So yeah. I think it's very important.
Yeah, 100%. Well, should we dig into the big mistakes that, you know, I think people are making during this time?
Yeah. I think the first one is that there's a lack of alignment between, you know, incoming and outgoing payments.
Yeah.
So most cash flow issues come from a mismatch. I mean, cash flow issues do come from a lack of profit. So let's just assume the jobs are somewhat profitable, because this will affect profitable businesses as well.
Yeah, well, if you don't have profit, there's nothing to accumulate into cash. So, I mean, that's a fundamental issue. But, like, if we just assume that, you know, everybody's pricing their work profitably, like, obviously the misalignment is where this goes wrong.
Yeah, and so the misalignment is this. You spend money or book money up or create invoices from your suppliers or your team doing the job before the break. And so let's say you've got maybe you're doing a house, you're plumbing out a house, and you start this job, I don't know, first, second, third week of December, whatever it is, and you do a bunch of work and you buy a bunch of materials there, but you're not getting any payment from that house until January the 20th. You'll have the invoices, which are due on, you know, January the 20th for you, but you've already paid the wages.
Yep, and the materials.
And the materials. Well, you won't have paid, you might pay those.
You'll
the next
pay them
month.
Later, but the thing is like, you're booked up for that money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Often that contractor won't pay you on the 20th because they're a bit short of cash, and so they might pay you on the 20th of February. Hmm. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, that's a big mismatch of cash in and cash out. And that can happen a lot. Or you might buy some materials, you don't even get started on the job.
Yeah.
And so your ability to invoice is a month or two down the track. So you've misaligned the cash flow, and that's massive because the Christmas break puts another, you know, week, two or three, whatever it is, in your ability to produce stuff, and it lengthens the time for when you're going to get paid. And so there's a big hole in there between when you're getting paid, when you're paying, when you're getting paid. And that's what really creates the crunch point. Not really understanding that. So you have to be very smart about that when you're doing your projects. And you almost, you know, if it's just jobbing work and sort of maintenance work, that's a bit different because you should be paying on completion. That's cool. But for those projects, you have to be quite scientific and look at each project and say, well, how are the cash flows going to look?
Yeah.
And how can I structure these jobs so that it's in the best benefit for my cash flow? It's not going to put me upside down.
Well, I think one thing that you said there is really important to actually note, because I think a lot of the time, every month you're going to be buying materials, you're going to be paying wages for jobs that you're doing now that you might not be invoiced for, you know, you might not be able to invoice for until next month. Now, that's actually quite normal.
Very normal.
One of the biggest differences at this time of year is that the people you're working for will equally, just like you, be experiencing cash flow wobbles very likely in January. And so even though the payment term is the same, and even though the gap is the same, the likelihood of them actually paying on time is less. And that's one of the biggest exacerbators of this.
Yeah.
Not to mention that if, you know, we get to point B, which is that you shut down completely, that's a big problem. Then obviously you also haven't been filling any work into the start of, say, January, which means that gap that's extended from being paid in January to now gets extended to paid in February. You're also getting paid less in February because you didn't do as much work in January, and now you're really compounding this problem. So it doesn't even look as bad right off the bat in January. But then come end of January, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm screwed. And so that's where this gets bad. It's actually not that the gap is necessarily always longer. It's that the likelihood of getting paid is less. And so that leads us into our second big mistake, which is that you shut down completely.
Yeah, you shut down completely. So you stop production for week two or three. And that means that, of course, you can't get paid for stuff you don't do. But yeah, you've still got bills. You've still got overheads, which are going to come out regardless. You know, and that's your rent and your power and all that sort of stuff, your lease. You know, finance costs, all that sort of stuff's going to come out every month. So that's going to put you down. And basically, you've just got, you know, you've got no production, you've got no money coming in. And that just exacerbates this massively.
Yeah.
And people underestimate that, how big an impact that has.
Yeah.
As I said, particularly with those overheads too, they're going to come out regardless.
So
the thing is that you don't have to shut down.
No.
And most people shut down for the reason that they want to break.
What's that they want to shut down? It's not that their business or their clients or their team actually want to have a shutdown. It's that the owner wants to shut down.
The owner needs a shutdown.
Yeah, which is fair. Yep. But the thing is that a lot of the time we think just because we need a shutdown that means the business must shut down, which is not true. And I think we also, we tend to think about the mindset of other people as being the same as our mindset. And this is true in all walks of life. Like everywhere across the place, you know, we have this sort of unconscious assumption that everyone thinks the same way, but they don't, right? And everyone has the same priorities, but they don't. And so while you really want to take a break over this time, you know, you're telling yourself, oh, all my team are going to want a break too, but that's not true. I mean, a lot of them are like, might be in a position with like, actually, I don't mind working around that. Like, sure, I'll take Christmas Day off or New Year's Day off, statutory holidays, sure. But like, around that, I'm more than happy to work. I would rather take, you know, a vacation later in the year or at a time when it's less busy. So that assumption is a pretty fatal assumption because it leads to you believing that a shutdown is a good idea when it's not.
Yeah, well, you take people with young children, sometimes they would rather have a vacation a little bit later in the year when it's not so busy. It's more cost effective to do that at an off-peak time. There's people who have no family who really just want the money.
Yeah.
They just want to work.
Yeah.
And taking a break is actually not what they want at all.
Well, even like cost effective, it's not just cost effective, but I mean, like for me, we take a summer holiday over Christmas. It's obviously summer here in New Zealand. And the thing is like, I hate going on a summer holiday to the beach right in the middle of Christmas because the beach is packed. You know, I want to go there when there's no one there. So if you go a few weeks after, you know, you also get the beach to yourself, which is fantastic. So I think the thing is you can't assume the mindset of other people and even your clients. You know, people we see, you know, trades business owners all the time will tell themselves, hey, can't do work right now because the problem is that all of our clients are going to be away and they're not going to want us to be working on this project while they're not home. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I would love it if all of my projects around the house got done while I'm not home because then I can come back, it's finished, and it's not a disruption to my household. So, I mean, like, the thing is assuming the mindset of other people is a real dangerous thing.
Yeah, and there's another cause here. This is a big cause of this problem, and it's quite deep and hidden. And the cause is that the reason you want to shut is because you don't actually have a business. the business actually relies on you, and you have to be there for any production to happen. And typically the people in that situation, they're the ones who need the break the most, because they're the most...
Well, they've been under pressure all
the
year
most,
long.
All year long. So if your business cannot carry on over a break without you, then we need to address the fact that your business is actually broken.
Yeah.
We need to help you create a business where you've got some good team members who can actually be trusted to do the job.
Yeah, good systems for them to follow, so if they get stuck, they don't need to call you.
That's exactly right. And you know, if we go back to Neil and Greg, Neil keeps running over Christmas. Not everyone's running. It's like two-thirds, which is cool. That keeps the cash flow coming in.
And to be clear, Neil is not working. The business is running, but Neil is not working. And that's really the difference.
He's very clever. In fact, he drops in for an hour or two once a week to the office, and everyone thinks he's working, but he's not. He's a smart man. Versus Greg is completely shut down, and you know, there's nothing happening. So everything's just ground to a halt. It's actually funny, momentum matters as well. You know, like you get a good momentum, and if you actually shut for 3 weeks, you kind of like, it takes you a while to just get things cranking again anyway. So,
Well, this leads me to the next one about getting things cranking. A lot of the time, I think we can fall into this assumption that it's like, hey, the type of work that I'm doing, it won't be going over that period. And so we tell ourselves there won't be any jobs for us to do anyway, so we might as well shut down. When the real problem here is that you didn't look for any jobs that could be done during that time. And obviously this is something that you would have had to do like in advance. This is really an October activity, not a like mid-December activity, January jobs. But
it might be a whole of the previous year activity.
It could be, but I think the key is that if you genuinely have a work type that will shut down over that period because your clients shut down over that period, then the thing is really you can either accept that and take this big kick in the guts that you probably won't recover from until April or May, you know, really set your whole year on the back foot, or you can plan for other types of work that you could do in that time and not have that experience. It's really that simple. And people say, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, you absolutely can do that. You know, you just need to make that decision. And so I think that's a real trap, is telling yourself some kind of story about I'm not going to be able to work during that time. When the reality is, you need to be asking a different question. It's what work could I do over that time?
And there is lots of work. I can think of, you know, public sector projects, school renovations. They all want stuff done during breaks.
Yeah, sucks to do it while all the kids are there.
Yeah, kind of tricky. Yeah. Business shutdowns. Like, there's lots of other businesses for legitimate reasons that shut down. Might be, you know, professional stuff shuts down. They want, you know, office refurbs, all that sort of stuff. That can be done. Yeah. Preventative maintenance can be done. Jobs that don't necessarily rely on other, you know, trades can be done. I mean, even building projects, you know, if you're working for a contractor or a builder who's got lots of jobs on, they might be quite happy for you to smash some stuff out.
Yeah.
Because they're under the pump, and if they can rely on you to do it, that's great. This maintenance and service work, you can really get a lot of new clients over this period, because a lot of people will be shut, get your AdWords, your Google Ads running, your online marketing, and you'll pick up maintenance work where people need help. But they'll ring three people and they're all away. They're all away, and you answer the call. You get that job. You do a good job. You get all their jobs.
Yeah, 100%. Not to mention, it's like if you're working through, you know, a contractor or a builder, and they genuinely shut down. I mean, there's nothing stopping you having a conversation with that builder or that contractor and saying, "Hey, are you sick of having crap cash flow in January? Are you sick of having a really bad start to the year?" I mean, they're experiencing all of the same stuff as you for these same reasons. So going to them and saying, hey, are you sick of this? Because, you know, we could just not shut down. Like, what if we, you know, gave some guys a break during this time and kept some guys on and or kept some kind of rotation, kept a few projects running, and let's just collectively not have a crap January. The thing is that contractor, that builder, is probably pretty open-minded to this because they are experiencing these problems too. And so, again, one of the big mistakes is just telling yourself the story that this won't work rather than going and trying to make it work. You know, have that conversation. It'll probably be pretty well received. So again, you don't have to let this happen. You can take action to stop it.
Yeah, there's a weird thing in life and business. It's called custom and practice, which is like basically the way we've always done things.
Hmm.
And the way we've always done things often is to actually shut down. But there's no law, there's no you know, legal requirement as such. It's just kind of like what we think we should do.
Yeah.
But we should kick that, you know, around a bit sometimes and question that assumption. And I think you're right. A lot of other people are frustrated by this this situation, they'd like it to be better, and you could maybe be the person who helps them facilitate that.
Yeah, well, it's really just their ownership mentality, right? Like, and I think a lot of the time we tell ourselves stories that you know, absolve us of any accountability or ownership. So, you know, the story that we hear people say a lot, and you know, honestly, everyone does this, is there's nothing I can do, rather than changing that to what is there that I could do, which is a very different mindset. Like, there's nothing I can do puts you in a victim mode where, you know, everything's completely out of your control and you just got to wear this negative outcome. Whereas if you ask yourself, what is there that I could do? You know, what could I do differently? This is a very empowering question to ask yourself, because it puts you back in the driver's seat. You once again have control. There will be stuff that you can do to work around this force. And, you know, a lot of the time, the thing that's making us feel out of control is not even real. Like, you know, like things like weather or the economy. I mean, like, these are actual forces where we'll say there's nothing I can do and we have to ask a different question. But a Christmas shutdown, there is absolutely no force in this. Like, nothing. Like, you can totally work around this.
So, and you know it's coming, so.
That's right. So yeah. Asking that different question is so crucial.
There's something else here that is very powerful. And you, if you think about insurance, you know, you put a little bit aside all the time. You pay a premium. So in case the bad thing happens, you get a lump sum payment. Mm. And so what happens with these breaks, if you do have to take a break, maybe you do, then you need to be thinking about that the whole year. And effectively what a lot of people don't do is they don't plan for it.
Mm.
And they don't put money aside. Okay, and so if you know you're going to be shut, then you need to have that money aside to actually pay for the privileges of the shutdown. And so that's basically prepaying every month for the costs that are going to come up. So that means you have a bank account where you actually put money aside to make sure your wages are covered, your tax payments are covered, all the things, the commitments you have are covered, so that when you get the break and after that, you're not in a bad position.
Well, essentially, you create an 11-month budget on a 12-month year, right?
That's
exactly
what
it is. If you know you're
going
to lose a month, you know, pretty much, then you make an 11-month budget on a 12-month year and you work towards that. And that's kind of how it has to run. And I mean, if you'd done that right from the whole year, then you'd be fine in month 12. Whereas if you try to put that in place in month 12, it's too late. You know?
Yeah, you're in trouble.
That's right. Well, I mean, that really leads to financing, you know, just in case. Like, having that backstop, that option that you can pull, that lever you can pull, you know, just in case, is a really big thing.
Yeah, and people forget about this. They're like, don't think about their cash flow. They don't plan their cash flow. They don't do at least a 12-week rolling cash flow forecast for every week to see where their bank account's going to be. This is critical over this period.
Hmm.
They don't do that. And therefore, they don't see that they're going to be short, and they don't make provisions for finance. So they don't go to the bank 3 months out and say, hey, I'm going to need some finance over this period of time. We're good, but I need some money to keep things moving over this time. And they just don't do that. And then they get short and the bank's not that interested and all the stress is there. But if you do it beforehand, the stress is not there because you've planned for it.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a bit of a cost. But you know, that's okay sometimes in business to have some finance to carry over a soft period. That's what you do.
Well, again, if you haven't been building up that war chest all year with a different budgeting method and you know you're going to shut down, then having that, you know, that finance available is essentially giving you that war chest that's just giving it to you in advance, and next year you're going to have
just
to catch it up.
That's right.
So rather than building up, you have to catch it up or whatever. You know, at least it's the same thing. It still gives you that freedom. And I think the next big problem is that, honestly, people, they shut their business down, they shut their marketing down too. And one of the big opportunities here is that in that sort of January time, that start of January when a lot of people are shut down, there's also not a lot of people marketing. So it's super easy to be cutting through the noise. And so I think the problem is that people are not still running ads. They're not still following up quotes. They're not still emailing their databases. They're not still calling around old job. They're not still doing any of that. They're completely shut down. Whereas the thing is there's never a more effective time to be standing out than when everybody else is standing down. And so I think a real problem here is that people just don't market through that quiet.
Yeah, and also they don't market beforehand to deal with the quiet. And so, you know, you really can be active a month or two beforehand with some special deals you're running, special offers that help fill up that period. And it's a lack of awareness that marketing is a key part of it. And like you said, if you don't market during that time, what happens is you've got a hole in your work a month, 2 months, 3 months later as well, because of that lag effect. Because sometimes these jobs take a bit of time to come through the pipeline. You've got to quote, bid, follow up, muck around, mess around with the specs until people are ready to go and pull trigger.
Yeah.
So it just all delays.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose, like, I reckon we come right back to this again, is please don't make the mistake of prepaying for way too many materials too early in the piece. I mean, like we touched on this earlier, but I think this warrants being said twice because it is a huge problem.
It's a massive problem. If you are paying for the materials, ordering them, paying for them, they're sitting in the yard, or they're sitting on a job as work in progress, and you do not have the ability to invoice them in a timely manner, that's going to destroy your cash flow. It's a massive, massive problem. I mean, we're in the process of doing a building ourselves at the moment and talking to some contractors, and one of the building contractors, a general contractor, he requires all the materials to be paid for by the client before they even get started. You know, so that's a smart move because it's actually lining up the cash flow, irrespective of a Christmas break or a summer break. You line that stuff up, and that's in your power to do. And if the client doesn't want to do that, then you've got to, you know, figure out, is that the way you
want
to
roll? Is it really the type of client you
want? Yeah, and that's a question you can ask. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but really matching up those inflows and outflows is the key to success. Otherwise, you've got this big cash gap, which is basically a pain. You know, it's just a big well of pain.
Yeah, well, I'm actually having some plumbing work coming up at my house, and luckily one of our clients is doing the work. You know, dude's the man, absolute genius, and I could figure out that, you know, he's actually been listening as well because he made me pay for all the materials up front, and I'm like, yes, good boy, like, well done, you're listening, mate. So,
but again, he probably charges a bit more than other plumbers, yeah, as well, which is good,
which he should,
because he's had some coaching.
And the thing is I'm more than willing to pay it because he's the man. Like honestly, his business is just the best. So
it is.
I think the thing is like, people are more than willing to do that, and it's just about lining up that cash. And as a result, like, guess what? He doesn't have cash flow problems. So I think that's the key.
This is the key thing, isn't it? There are lots of people who just don't have this issue over the Christmas break or a summer break because they think about it differently. They understand the causes, and they put some things in place to stop it being an issue. And there are other people who just think that's the way life is, and funnily enough, that's the way life is.
Well, also just one more trap on the materials thing I think I just want to touch on is that a lot of the time December can be a busy month. Like, you can have a lot of jobs that you're getting through the pipe in December because people are rushing to get stuff done by Christmas. And as a result, you get a false sense of security that you think things are great, cash flow looks awesome. So you're like, you know what, I'm going to prepay a bunch of materials while cash is good because I'm going to pay them now and stock them up, and then later on we won't get burned. But like, you forget that your amazing cash flow month just turned into a really standard, if not average, if not kind of bad cash flow month, even though your revenue was really high. And then what happens is that you follow that month with January where your revenue was lower. And so instead of having a really great month and then just buying materials when you needed them, you've taken that really great month and made it a crap month by prepaying a bunch of materials, which you're never going to be able to invoice for a long time. And so you've actually made a good thing a bad thing because of that false sense of security. So it's a trap, man.
Well, and it is amazing how cash in the bank now and strong sales makes you feel bulletproof. But cash in the bank now is irrelevant. Flow of cash is what's important.
That's right.
You know, and flow of cash is, where is the bank balance going to be tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month?
Well, that's why lotto winners lose it all, right?
That's right.
Because you got to
understand flows, inflows, and outflows.
It's not a flow. It's a one-off thing.
There's one other thing that I wanted to mention just before we finish up, and I think we touched on it, but I think this is important. You know, if you are shut in January, let's say you're shut for 2 weeks, you can only ever do half the revenue you did the month when you're fully open. This is the, you know, because you are just not open. You're not doing work.
It's literally not
And I
possible.
Know it sounds obvious, but it's actually, I've seen it often where people are like surprised at how low their revenue is. And I'm like, well, you only worked half the time. The fact that you did half the revenue is actually pretty good going. And so that's really important to understand. It's like a factory. If it's shut,
It cannot produce.
That is as simple as that.
Yeah, simple as that. Well, let's land this plane.
So if you're sick of starting every year behind, it's time to make some changes. It's critical that you manage your cash flows coming in and out, you line up the right jobs that are profitable, you manage your employee leave, and you start playing offense. Don't play defense. Otherwise, you'll let Christmas wreck your momentum for the whole year. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.